You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Back in 1980, Ronald Reagan, former actor, former governor of California, put together a national coalition of religious conservatives and traditional Republicans to take the White House from Democrat Jimmy Carter and to start a Republican dynasty, the end of which was perhaps seen last Tuesday in the election of Barack Obama. If you think about the traditional wing of the Republican Party, the moderate wing of the Republican Party, call it what you will, the name Chafee comes to mind again and again. 4 years before Ronald Reagan entered the scene or entered the White House, John Chafee was already a senator from Rhode Island. His son succeeded him in 1999, and Lincoln Chafee joins us now on the program. He's currently at Brown University's Watson Institute and is the former senator, Republican U.S. Senator of Rhode Island. Senator Chafee, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
My first question to you is, who is going to lead the Republican Party back, and how do you form a coalition that even could begin to match what Ronald Reagan did in 1980 based on the numbers that came out of last week's election?
Well, that's a huge question that the party's going to have to confront, because so many of the kind of Republicans that you described, the Rockefeller Republicans, Chafee Republicans, are gone. They've left the party. And I found that out when I was running in 2006, that when I went to my donors that had been so generous to me in 2000 when I first ran, they had left. They weren't giving anymore, disillusioned with the Republican policies and the priorities. And the traditional conservatism that I call, where we care about revenues matching expenditures, we care about the environment, we care about personal liberties, the Bill of Rights, not getting into these foreign entanglements. These are that's my kind of Rockefeller Republican, and I call it conservative values.
So your sense is that the party left you to begin with, and I guess what I would love to know from you is what you think John McCain represented. I mean, some have criticized McCain for not being enough of one or the other Republican, but kind of a bad mixture of both, and that's one reason why the McCain candidacy didn't work. What's your view?
Yes, it was unfortunate to see him change so much as he campaigned for the 2008 Republican nomination. When I served with him, we were the only two Republicans to vote against the big Bush-Cheney tax cuts in the spring of 2001. It was just Chafee and McCain.
Wow.
None of the other moderates were voting against the big tax cuts. He was good on the environment, consistently against drilling up in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, a key vote, very important vote, because those votes were so close. And then, of course, he was helpful in forming the Gang of 14, which addressed the Supreme Court nominees,
mm-hmm.
and charting a moderate path. And then when he campaigned for the Republican nomination, it was a different John McCain. And when he finally picked Sarah Palin, Governor Palin, as his running mate, it was the final pander to that Republican base that I don't think represents, as we saw in the election, manifest itself at the true America.
Senator, moving forward, what are the obstacles, the main issues that are going to determine, you believe, which direction the Republic Party moves in as they think about the next elections, the next congressional elections coming up in 2 years?
Well, it's a very noisy group in the Republican Party, very vocal and angry or mean, if you will. And they like to primary us moderates. They call us, they insult us, call us rhinos, Republican in name only, and the type. And from what I saw in the paper yesterday, one of the articles, they're rejoicing in driving out what they called wobbly kneed Republicans. And that makes no sense to me. We lost Oregon. We lost New Hampshire in 2008. In 2006, of course, lost Rhode Island, lost Montana. Losing a number of states, it just makes no sense. If you want to be chairman of committees, how can you keep driving out members of the party?
Well, you suggest that the GOP, before it goes forward, needs to cleanse itself of this internal battle between the sort of Palin-style conservatives, the culture war conservatives, and your so-called moderate conservatives. How's that war going to take place, and is there enough time to finish that off and still have enough of a lead in the election to actually present a united front?
Well, that's the key question the party's going to have to confront. And if they want to be a party of a few states in the South and a few Rocky Mountain states, they'll continue along the same path and choosing priorities, gay marriage and abortion, instead of addressing the economy and the environment and our international relations, should I think of the priorities of the American people. I do think Governor Huckabee came to Brown curiously and gave a speech before a packed audience and got a standing ovation after he was done at Brown University, liberal Brown University. He was able to be his social conservative but still be open to different voices in the audience. And they gave him a standing ovation when he was done.
Senator,
that was interesting.
Senator, who do you think is the Republican base today?
Well, it's, as I said, very vocal. They've got a mean streak to them, and they're fueled by a lot of the talk show hosts, Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, and all those names. There's a whole industry out there. And I believe that if John McCain had picked Governor Ridge, for instance, to be his running mate, they would have threatened a floor fight at the convention, had challenged his own choice as a nominee for the vice president. That's how they operate. And I certainly saw it with a primary. Here I am trying to hold on to my seat in Rhode Island, and this is America. You're free to run in a primary. But the money that poured in from that noisy right wing, millions of dollars in a primary, no right winger is going to win a U.S. Senate seat in Rhode Island.
Right. Well, let's talk very, very quickly. You wrote a great book about a compliant Congress. The name of the book is Against the Tide, How a Compliant Congress Empowered a Reckless President. Do you think that the key to a Republican resurgence is going to be a Congress that is tougher and holds the White House and the executive more accountable in this next term?
Well, it depends on what the issues are. I think that part of Senator Obama, President-elect Obama's appeal was that post-partisanship, going back to the 90s and the Newt Gingrich and the shutdown of the government, the impeachment, all the fighting. People now, American people, want us to work together. And that's what George W. Bush originally ran on, if you remember. I'm a divider.
Yeah, so post-partisanship might be an opening for Republicans like you. Lincoln Chafee, former Republican U.S. Senator from Rhode Island, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Senator Chafee is now a distinguished fellow at Brown University's Watson Institute. And as I said, he's the author of Against the Tide, How a Compliant Congress Empowered a Reckless President. And now headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thanks, John. The time is 20 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.